Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our session. My name is Anne Michaels.
And I'm Shopee Sanal.
And we very much appreciate your time today and that you're coming to our session to learn more about Office 365 usage reporting and the Power BI Content Pack. I know that that's what all of you are waiting for. So the Barbie doll is one of the best-selling toys in history. Since 1959, over 1.5 billion Barbie dolls have been sold. Let's do a quick show of hands here. Who of you had a Barbie when they grew up? Yes, I know this is more of a female question. Oh, but I see some men like raising the hand. That's interesting. But well, I also had a Barbie when I grew up. My Barbie, my first Barbie, it was actually a birthday present, and I was super excited. And I played with it like every day, hours and hours. My parents, well, they were actually super happy because they didn't have to think about a single birthday present anymore. They were done. Well, then, the next year, it was my dad's turn to choose my birthday present. And my dad, he holds a PhD in physics. So he got me a physics introduction kit. You know those, yeah, those experiment, I think you know those experiment kits that actually teach you physics in a fun way. So you can like grow crystals, launch a bottle rocket, like really a lot of fun and exciting stuff. Well, just not for me. My dad, the day after my birthday, he went on a business trip, and when he came back the week after, I hadn't even opened my experiment kit. Why was that? Well, at that time, it wasn't really normal for girls to be interested in computer science and physics and all that stuff. And all my friends, well, they all just had Barbies, and I simply didn't know what to do with my physics kit. So now think about Office 365. You, the Office 365 admin, you are my parents. Come on, I'm not too bad of a kid. So you are my parents, and you have bought an Office 365 license for me. Well, do you want me to ignore the license, like I ignored the experiment kit? Or do you actually want me to use it every day, like I used my Barbie every day? So when my dad came back from his business trip, he sat down with me, and he did the experiments together with me. And I loved it afterwards. But I needed a little bit help, a little bit kind of like starting at the beginning. And that is the same for many of your end users in Office 365. When you assign them with a license, they sometimes simply don't know how to use the product or what to do with the license. And to help you get that information and to increase the usage of Office 365, as part of the new Office 365 Admin Center, we rolled out a new usage reporting dashboard and new usage reports that provides you with a complete picture about how your users use Office 365 across the different services. And that also provides you with details broken down to the individual user level. So let's just take a look. Is not number seven?
Six.
I'm on six.
Yep, you're right.
Thank you. Sweet. So to get to the new usage reports, when you're on the homepage of the new admin center, you can either use the navigation here on the left and click on usage reports, or you can also directly click on the card here on your homepage. And then you will land on the new usage reporting dashboard, which is basically the centerpiece of our new usage reports. And it provides you with an overview of how your users in your organization use Office 365 across the services, and also how many users use the different services. So why is that so important for you as an admin? Well, on the one hand, you as an admin, you have to report back to your management, right? Your management, they bought Office 365 with a very specific goal in mind. For example, they want your end users to be more productive or collaborative. But they also, now of course, ask you, is that actually happening? Because they want to know, are we getting value out of Office 365? But it is also important for you because, as with our example, with the Barbie and the experiment kit example, it allows you to identify those users that might need some additional end user training and communication to use actually the product. So you will see that throughout the dashboard and throughout the usage reports, we use graphs like the one here at the top to visualize the information, to make it easy for you to identify trends and anomalies. All of the graphs in the usage reports are customizable. You can modify them. So you can pivot to different time periods, like 7 days, 30 days, and 90 days, and 180 days. There we go. So, and when you actually put your mouse on one of these little dots, you can see the information then broken down to that individual day. So at the bottom of the dashboard, each of the main services in Office 365 has their own card, which gives you a quick overview of the activity that is happening within that service, and it shows you a summary of the activity. So let's just take a look at the email activity report as an example. But what you will see is that actually all of the product-specific reports, they are very similar in structure. So at the top, we have a graph that shows you an overview of the activity that is happening within that service across your entire organization. So in our example here, let's just actually go ahead and make this a little bit bigger. So in our example here, you can see how many email messages have been sent, received, and how often email messages have been read within your organization. And then you can switch to a different view, which shows you by how many users that activity has been driven. In the table at the bottom, you can see that information broken down to the individual user. Let's even go bigger here. There we go, that's better. So in this table here, you can see the information broken down to the individual user. So you can see which of your users are using the product, and sometimes even more important, which of your users are actually not using the product. And here in our example, we can now see how many emails every individual user has sent, received, or how often they have read emails. If you want to further analyze the data, you can download all of the reports into a CSV file by simply clicking on the little export icon here. And then you can open them with a tool like Excel to do some further pivoting and filtering of the data. And this is also a view that is customizable. So when you click, normally this shows a little icon that didn't load this time, but normally there's a little icon here. And when you click on that, you can add additional columns into the report or remove them. But so what we've heard from you is that many of you have actually very strict privacy guidelines in your organizations. And you don't want your admins to see that information at the individual user level. You don't want them to see how many emails Ann Michaels or Shilpi Sinha sends every day. And to help with that, you can set the privacy feature for the reports. You can anonymize them. Actually, in our example here, that feature is already switched on. That is why in the column here, the username column, you can actually not see the username, which the column would normally show, but you see an anonymized string. Can you guys still hear me? I will just talk very loud. Okay, so in here, yeah, that's why we only see an anonymized string of letters and weird numbers in here. And that is a setting that you can modify in the settings area in services and add-ins. You will find a report section where you can modify that setting. So let's take a look at a few more reports. So let's go ahead and take a look at the mailbox usage report. As you will see today, in general, we have migrated a lot of the reports from the old admin center, but we've also brought you a set of new reports to the new admin center. The Mailbox usage report one is actually one that we have migrated, but we have not simply migrated it, but we have improved it. So in the email activity report that we just looked at, you could see which of your users are active on email. And active means any user that has sent or read an email. And the Mailbox usage report now shows you how many mailboxes, user mailboxes, you have within your organization. And it also shows you how many of those are active. You can then switch to a different view that shows you how much storage you have across all those user mailboxes. And to a third view, which is actually the view that I like the most, because it shows you very easily how many of your user mailboxes are comfortably within the storage limit, how many have a warning issued, and also how many of your user mailboxes are currently prohibited from sending and receiving emails. In the table at the bottom, you can see that information broken down to the individual user again. So next, let's take a look at the SharePoint and the OneDrive usage and activity report. As you can see here in our drop-down menu, which is actually the best way to navigate the reports because it gives you access to all of the reports. But as you can see in here, for all of the main services, we provide you with an activity as well as a usage report so that you really have a consistent picture across all the different products. So let's take a look at the OneDrive usage report first. In this report, you can see how many OneDrive accounts you have across your entire organization, and you can also see how many of your OneDrive accounts are active. A OneDrive account is active if it has any type of file activity. So if a file has been created, modified, synced to clients, shared internally, or shared externally. And then you can switch to a different view that shows you the number of files that you have on your OneDrive accounts and how many of those are active. In the table at the bottom, you can then see again that information broken down to the individual OneDrive account. So you can see which OneDrive accounts are actually being used and how much storage the files take up on those OneDrive accounts. And one thing that I want to call out is that the file activity can be performed by the owner of the OneDrive account or also by somebody else in the company. So now, of course, you want to see how are actually specific users using OneDrive. To get that information, we can switch to our OneDrive activity report. In here, you can see how your end users use OneDrive for collaboration. So in the table at the bottom here, you can see how each individual user uses OneDrive. And that is any given OneDrive. So let's say, in the first column here, D758, this would be Shilpi. So if Shilpi views or edits a file on her OneDrive, this will go show in here in the column, but also if she views or edits a file on my OneDrive, that will also show in the column here. And what is really interesting about this view is that in this view, you can see all the different types of file activities that a user can perform on OneDrive. So you can actually see which of your users will share files internally and use OneDrive for collaboration, or which of your users use OneDrive mostly for file backup and for syncing their files to OneDrive. And what is really also interesting, and we know from your feedback that that is a feature and information that you need a lot, is to actually see which of your users share files externally. So let's next take a look at the SharePoint activity report. Shall I switch?
Excuse me, Eric, do you want me to switch? Awesome.
Now I feel like a rock star. So, in the SharePoint activity report, you can see a similar picture just for SharePoint. So you can see how many of your users use SharePoint and which users use SharePoint. One thing that I want to call out, though, is that activity right now is based on file activity. And that, of course, is a little bit of an incomplete view because it doesn't include page views or other activities that you can perform on SharePoint. And we know that and we're working on including those, but right now this report gives you a good starting point to understand which of your users and how your users are using SharePoint. What we've also heard in your feedback, and I'd really like to thank all of you who have provided feedback on the old reporting capabilities as well as on the new ones when we launch them as a preview, because this has really helped us to make sure that the reports meet your needs, and we've talked with a lot of you to make sure that they do that. And what we have heard from you is that it is really great for you to have all this information per product, but what you really want is a consolidated view. A view where you can see how a user is using one Office 365 across all their services. So let's take a look at the active users report. So this is a report that is not available to you yet. All the other reports, with the exception of Office 365 groups and active users, you have them available in your new admin center already, but this is a report that we're still working on, but as you can see, we already have it in our demo tenant, so it will be rolled out to you in the next couple of weeks. So in this report, you can see how users within your organization use Office 365 across the different services. The graph here at the top will probably look familiar to you because this is the graph that we also show on the main dashboard. But this view now, this report, now provides you with the user level data. So in the report, you can see all your users that you have assigned a license to for one or more of the products, and you can see the last time they were active on that product. So this list is actually sorted by last activity date, and it is sorted by the last activity date on any of the products. This is a report which is really helpful if you want to identify those users that you have assigned a license to, but that aren't using Office 365. So really to help you identify those users that you want to follow up with and provide them with some more communication and training. So let's just do that right now. Oh, we obviously have one user here, 329. Shilpi, you got to be 329 again. So this is Shilpi. And I can see that Shilpi doesn't have any recent activity on Skype for Business. Well, to actually understand the full picture and to continue my investigation, I have to modify the report a little bit. Because as this is a consolidated view, it is actually possible that Shilpi might not have a license for Skype for Business. So what we can do is that we can modify the report. Here, thank you. The hidden icon, you will normally see that. They're just making it difficult for us today. So we can add the information in if Shilpi actually has a license for Skype for Business. So we see that this is true. So now I would probably follow up with Shilpi to actually find out why she's not using Skype for Business and if she needs help to get started. But to really complete the picture, it also helps to add the information when I actually assigned a license to Shilpi. Because if I just assigned the license last week, well, then she might just not be set up yet. But in our case here, I can see that we assigned her with a license in December, so I might definitely want to follow up with her. And we understand that this is a report that has a lot of information. So this is really one of those reports where it is helpful to import it into a CSV file and open it in Excel so that you can really pivot and filter it the way how you need it. So what I've showed you today, the reports in here, is really just the beginning. We are working on additional reports, including an Office 365 groups report, a Yammer groups report, a Skype clients report, a Yammer clients report. We have a lot more reports on the roadmap to really provide you with a complete picture about how your users use and adopt Office 365. And they will roll out over the next couple of months. Another area that we're working on, and that you're all waiting for, is the content pack for Power BI. And we're very happy to not only demo it to you today, but we'll also give you the ability to sign up for the preview. So Shilpi, do you want to take it from here?
Sure. Thanks, Sam. Let's check. Do I need to use this? I think I'm good with this. All right. Let's switch quickly to, where do you have your five? Okay. All right. So thanks, Anne, for showing us all the beautiful reports that are now available in Office 365 Admin Center. And like Anne noted earlier, there are a few that are still rolling out into all our environments, but most of the reports that we've shown you today should be already available in your environments. So in terms of understanding how your organizations are deriving value out of Office 365, these reports give you a great starting point. So what we understand, though, is that you receive a lot of follow-up questions from leaders in your organization. Questions like, so what are people using to communicate with each other? What are people collaborating? Are there shifts in the trends of collaboration across our organization? Are people communicating broadly? Are there tools they're using that we're providing, or is it different? What departments are really using and adopting technology faster than the others? And so there's a lot of these follow-up questions. Anyone who's ever built a report for anybody in the organization knows that the first report you produce never answers the question completely. And there's always a whole bunch of follow-up questions. And so for what you really need in this situation is an ability to have access to this information and the ability to really slice and dice this information based on the context of your organization, personalized to what you're getting asked, the questions you are getting asked, how do you answer those questions? And so the Power BI content pack that we're enabling for Office 365 adoption helps you answer exactly those kind of questions. So without further ado, let me show you what the new Office 365 adoption content pack looks like. We've worked with in partnership with the Power BI team to deliver this to you. First and foremost, it's helping you understand the trend with which users in your organization are adopting Office 365 and the various services within it. So you're able to do further analysis in terms of how are people adopting Exchange, SharePoint, OneDrive, et cetera. And I'll walk you through a lot of the details in this. Office 365 is all about enabling productivity in your organization for your users, making them be able to communicate their ideas better with each other, enabling them to collaborate on their ideas with each other, store their documents across the OneDrive and SharePoint. So the way we've done is we've basically broken down the content pack in terms of how your users are using the product. They're using to communicate, they're using to collaborate, and so the outline of the content in this is basically helping you establish answers for those. For example, in the communication section, we provide you a lot of quick overview items such as, you know, how many emails are people sending? What's an average user on my team reading? How many emails are they reading? How many messages are they posting on Yammer? How many are they reading on an average in Yammer? How much time have people spent in Skype all up so far in all modalities of Skype? And the general breakdown of the trend that you can see, if you've just introduced Skype or Yammer in your organization and people have already been used to email, this kind of a view enables you to see that trend and watch for the changes. Are people starting to use some of the other forms of communication, or are they still using email and meetings and stuff like that? So it kind of empowers you to be able to watch that trend as it happens in your organization. Another aspect is collaboration. A lot of times people use OneDrive to store their documents. They can access it anywhere. But then are they really sharing their ideas across? a big component for OneDrive is like, am I using my OneDrive purely to store my content, or am I actually sharing? Are others contributing to those ideas? Are other people sharing, editing or modifying content on my OneDrive? So a couple of views here that we have helps you answer that question. How much collaboration is going on within OneDrive? And we draw the parallels between activities across OneDrive as well as how people are using SharePoint sites, for example, team sites and group sites. One question around OneDrive that we always get asked for is, how many OneDrives are actively being used? But then there's the second pivot that Anne talked about as well earlier, is like, how many users are really going to OneDrive? It's always like, I could be one user hitting everybody's OneDrive, or there could be several users using one person's OneDrive, right? So that dynamics of who's working on where, that is an interesting one. And so we bring that out in some of these views that we've created so that you can get a sense of how many active OneDrive accounts do I have, and then how many users are actively using that. Further down on this, we've got a whole bunch of different views that allow you to also look at, whoa. That's a planned. All right, let's go. Should I just unplug this?
Let's try that.
That's a colorful content pack for you. All right, we got it. Thank you. We just needed you to walk over.
Don't go away.
Oh, don't go away. No. Would you mind taking a seat right here? Perfect. And then we also provide you an all-up view on, thank you. How many documents do you have stored across all of these OneDrives? So it's a quick view. If somebody asks you that question, you have the information right on your fingertips now. Another one that's that we get asked quite a bit about is Office client subscription activations. And so you have views around how many total activations have happened across all users, what percentage of users are activating it, and what's the breakdown between the various client subscriptions. But most important that everybody's kind of curious is, like, who are my top influencers? Who are the people that are really taking the access to technology and going far with it and are really using this product and the various capabilities within the product to actually derive value? And so there's a view here that easily allows you to pivot and sort things based on who's doing more email, who's doing more Yammer, who's doing more Skyping, and things like that. And of course, last but not the least, everybody's very interested on where are my people really using Office 365 from. So there's a view based on region. So to circle back, earlier I talked about the capability that we're putting in your hands through this Power BI content pack is basically slicing and dicing based on the pivots that are relevant for you. And so let me give you a little bit of an understanding of what we've done here. What we've done is basically taken the Office 365 usage data and merged that with the Active Directory information for your users. And we've basically enabled you to be able to slice and dice based on some of the properties that you may be syncing into AD. And so that's where we get the magic of, you know, understanding some slicing on, let's say, departments, companies, or you might have region, you might have other aspects of user metadata that is available. So that's great. You have the dashboard. What next, right? So the way you should think about the dashboard is, about the content pack, is that it's a template. We've done all the hard work for you to connect all the relevant data sets together. And once we ship the content pack, you will have it in your environment. What does that mean for you now? You have to just instantiate the content pack, and blah. The data for your organization will be populated in this view. Right now, I have a test sample data set that's populating it, but when you instantiate it in your environment, it'll be your data. Second thing to note, this is our view of the world as we understand your needs, but you may certainly have other interesting slices and dices of this data or other insights from this data that are relevant for your organization. And so you can totally customize this. Once you've instantiated it, it's yours to play with, yours to customize, yours to enhance, and yours to really make it contextual for your environment. And third thing, it makes it super easy for you to share these insights broadly in your organization. Today, the reports that are available in the admin center are purely locked down to the global admins and the workload admins. So we've heard a lot from everybody saying, these are very restrictive, we want to share these reports with more people. We've got user-level details in there, which is why we kind of chose to kind of make sure that it's available to the people, to the core admins. But the content pack enables you to broadly share it. What happens in the background is, the admins are the only people who are able to instantiate or interact with the data to change the views or customize the views. But once you publish the changed views onto the dashboard, you can share it broadly. People can interact and do simple slice, but they can't change that view for you. Does that make sense? Cool? So you suddenly you have so much more power. You can choose to exercise it the way you want. Keep the dashboard to yourself and answer the question just in the right way, or democratize this. Let everybody understand what's going on, or the right people understand, right? Okay, so what I'm also going to do is actually walk you through how I have created these dashboards, these views, and I'm also going to walk you through some of the pivoting and the slicing and dicing that you can do. At the end of it, I'll also show you how you can customize this and then add something to your dashboard. So here is the what I have here in Power BI desktop is the view around adoption. So let me also take some time and walk you through some of the metrics that I've put in here. Fundamentally, when I'm trying to understand adoption or usage of the various services, I'm looking at very simple concepts. How many users have I assigned the licenses to? And so that's your teal blue bar. How many of those users are actually using the product? That's your black bar there. How many of them are repeat users month over month? They came last month and they came this month as well. So they're finding value and they're staying within the product and they're using it. And then lastly, the yellow bar, the tiniest one, is our attempt to track your absolutely brand new users, the first time users of the service in that month. And this needs a little bit of an explanation because if you see my chart is kind of starting from March. You may not have started your journey with Office 365 in March 2016, but we have started the journey together on the data collection and aggregation from early 2016. So you may have been using the product from longer than that, but we're starting to collect and process data. So it could be that you had somebody using the product in December and then went on a maternity leave and then didn't come back until April. So the first time they used Office 365 was in April 2016. My chart is going to show them as a new user, but the data will start rationalizing or normalizing over the next few months because it's the small window of time where our data computation started. What you're seeing here in the dark blue dark line here is the trend for total cumulative active users. What does that mean? Let me explain that. So let's say, for example, Anne used the product in January, and she didn't come back in February. Bad Anne. But then I used the product in February, and now when I'm looking at this data in February, how many active users do I have in my product so far? Do you think one or two? Two. Thank you. Very simple math. The idea here is, on a monthly basis, we're giving you how many users accessed the service, used the service in that month, but we're building that cumulative line that says, overall, so far, since the time we started collecting data and computing it, how many active users have ever used the service at least once? Make sense? It's an interesting concept that helps you understand not just your monthly use, but also your overall usage of the service. So, now let's talk about slicing and dicing. What I'm showing you here is the view at the Office 365 level. So basically, this is the set of users that are licensed for any product and are using any of those products. But if I'm an Exchange admin, or let's say I'm a SharePoint or OneDrive admin, I want to understand what's going on with OneDrive. And so here I have a slicer that enables me to look at this data for OneDrive. And the chart changes to give you the view of what's going on with OneDrive. Again, the teal blue blur is the licensed users for OneDrive. And by the same notion, it's the number of active users in OneDrive, number of people coming back month over month, and the new users. And so I can do this similarly for SharePoint. I can get a sense. And note how all the other numbers are changing, because I have 54% of active users in SharePoint with a 94% retention, month over month retention. And then I can look at Skype and look at the same information from a Skype's perspective. So this is an organization, sample data set, which is starting to ramp up their Skype installation and getting users onto it. This is perhaps atypical, but you might just see. Similarly for Yammer, you'll see how many active users I have and what's the retention on those. And it's interesting. How many active users is an interesting metric. Retention is another very interesting metric. And something as high as 74 or 88 or 95 retention month over month implies that the users who are using the product are finding the right value and are using it over and over again. And so that gives you indication that you just have to work on helping the users that are not yet familiar with what these tools can actually do for them to kind of give them the gentle push or the gentle nudge or the training that required and kind of get them on the right track with that. So let's look at communication. So similarly here, in terms of we talked about some of this earlier in terms of the average emails sent per person. You can do totals, you can do average. There's a lot of ability at your fingertips to be able to look at the data the way you want it. I have just portrayed some sample notions here in terms of average. Total number of messages posted in Yammer, 2 million. That's good, but how many are people reading? And so on an average, 113 messages are being read by users. We want Office 365 enables your users to collaborate and communicate from anywhere. And so what clients are people using is an interesting question that answer for that is right here, where we give you the breakdown of the various clients that people are using. Obviously, on email, Outlook is still the prevalent client there. So, but this trend view here is interesting. If you actually blow this out, you can see the micro trend moving, where you can see that the bulk of my people are still using email to send and read of email. But look at the yellow bar. This is Skype. It's starting to change. Month over month, I can see more and more users are actually starting to use Skype to communicate, do the quick IM, hey, Ann, are we ready for Ignite? And I was like, yeah, let's get together and work on it, right? So it provides you that micro trend that you're looking for to say, yes, we're on the right track. And of course, it also gives you insights on, hey, summer months, people are off, not a lot of stuff going on, so Skype's down. You know, email, yeah, people are still responding, but Skype's down, Yammer's down, you know, things like that. So you can see those trends when you look at this information. So the key thing from a trend perspective that we're trying to do for you is basically enable you to see usage across 6 months. A lot of the top level views where we can pre-compute a lot of the aggregates for you, we're going to present you a 12-month period so that you can actually spot the trend of adoptions. A lot of time people told us, look, not a whole lot changes in 6 months. It takes a big machinery to start changing a lot of these things. And so we've done the hard work at the back end to kind of compute this for you at a 12-month period. So there are some metrics that are available for 6 months because that's all the data that we can retain. But then some highly aggregated data we are able to maintain for you for 12 months. So you'll see that difference in the data set. So let's talk a little bit more about collaboration. So to touch on the point I was mentioning earlier in terms of people who are creating content on their own OneDrives versus editing or modifying content on someone else's OneDrive. And this one shows a really, you know, reasonably healthy balance where most folks are creating content on their own, but there's a lot of collaboration going on in this organization. And one that we get asked quite a bit is how many users are typically sharing files, whether that's internally or externally. And in our sample data set, internally is certainly the most that's going on, but there are a few people that are sharing externally as well. And we've done the breakdown both for OneDrive as well as SharePoint. So let's look a little bit more on OneDrive usage. Not just looking at the number of sites, accounts, as well as active users, what we've done is basically shown you, you have about, let's say, 120 million documents across all OneDrives. What does that really look in terms of how many documents exist across the OneDrives? It's a hard one. It's like, okay, 120 million, that's great, but are people storing all their documents? Like, what's the distribution of number of documents that people typically use OneDrive for? So in this case, in our sample data set, we found that, you know, about 20% of our users were only using OneDrive to save one file. But then there was those power users that were on the right side, which is basically constitutes to more than about like 20%. These are all your power users here. There are some with a lot of documents on it. And you want to dig in more in that. And so I'm like, who are these people? How much space are they using? What does it mean in terms of my OneDrives? And so we've built a couple of, you know, we've built a couple of really high-level views, but then we have the ability to go down and sort of look at that at the user level. So let's say here I have, at the site level, I'm sort of saying which OneDrive accounts actually have most documents. And so there's one here with about 1,000 or 3,000, and I can sort by that. Or I can sort by storage, like there are actually literally sites with a lot of files, but very little storage stored. So like perhaps small files, and they're not the ones I'm worried about. But they're the ones with 16 files, but terabytes of data. I wanna know about that. So this enables you to kind of quickly look at this and do that quick analysis. And again, we allow you to be able to do it by users as well. So which users are saving files across different OneDrives. Want to touch quickly on some of the Skype reports that we have here as well. So Skype is interesting. There's three distinct modalities. You're either doing peer-to-peer IMing, or you're organizing meetings, conferences, or you're participating in them. So we have that entire breakdown, and we enable you to see what are people using the most. In this data set, certainly the peer-to-peer conversations is the most, and we kind of give you the ability to look beyond as well. To some of the others. So deeper into P2P, you can see that IMing is the most prevalent amongst users, but then there are other aspects like file sharing or other audio, video that people do. Last but not the least, we have insights around Yammer usage. And again, we try to show in there, you know, what's the rate at which new users are getting activated on Yammer? What's the distribution? How many people are typically posting messages or liking other people's messages or just reading? So Yammer, there's a huge concept for Lurker. People are just consuming content, seeing what other people are posting. Not a whole lot are actively posting. So you can see that in this data set as well, that the number of people reading posts is way, way, way higher than posting. And it gives you that breakdown as well. In terms of looking at your top influencers, you can see them by usage here. And I know that Anne shows up top of list. She uses Yammer quite a bit. But this is an interesting one in terms of really spotting your top users across the various products. And so what we've done here is built a view of all your users and then all the possible activities they could be doing. And then you can sort. You're looking for people who are posting a lot of messages on Yammer, people who are IMing quite a bit on Skype, or people who are just receiving a lot of emails. And so you can do all of those sorting and quick, I'm not sure why it's not cooperating with me. This is supposed to be really fast. Right, there you go. This is actually certainly a lot of data for it to show, because on my demo tenant, I have about 100,000 or more users. I have 200,000 users on this data set. So here, I mean, I can name something. Do you care to see any particular activity around any particular product? All right, I'll pick one. So here's the list of all the activities that we have. Let's say, for example, who's sharing the most files externally? And I can sort this view by that, and I can see that it'll end up being D2FGS or whatever, and it's Anne again, just like she was calling me out on her talk. But nonetheless, you know, it gives you a lot more information at your fingertips. And you know, one of the things I actually missed to show you on the previous one is basically here, I can do quick, these are also department names, and we have anonymized everything just so that we kind of, I wanted to showcase the key concept that the anonymization of data is happening at the service level. And so if you anonymize it to change, to not show any personally identifiable information at the UX, in the report UX, it'll be respected even here. So just wanted to call that out, which is why I left all my demos with anonymized strings here. But those department names could also be used as, you know, you could do an analysis there in terms of which departments are using OneDrive more or less, and you can kind of do a lot more slicing and dicing based on that. So last piece I want to show is just basically creating a new report. So let's say, for example, you wanted to, you didn't like any of the views, or you liked, but you want to add some more views on your own. And you can click on the plus button, and it'll show you the entire, I wish I had someone from Power BI to help me out here. Nonetheless, this should, and it does, trust me. Has anybody used Power BI before here? All right, great, so I'm not showing you new stuff. You can understand. I'm gonna switch to DemoWare and talk to you about the data set a little bit. So we'll just show you. So the notion here is I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about what's behind all of this, right? It might be, I promise I won't bore you. So the notion here is what we're bringing is state information about users, SharePoint sites, OneDrive accounts, mailbox, user mailboxes. So it's all the metadata and the property that attach with these entities. And then we're bringing a whole bunch of activity data sets, which is basically what users are acting, doing what activity. And we've kind of enabled a lot of slicing and dicing ability because we've introduced metadata there that enables you to look at by product, by activity, by department, by, so there's a lot of these pivots that's represented in all of these data sets. And so if you're looking for something that's not already in the dashboard created by us, you can interact with this data model. It's very simple and straightforward. When we release the content pack, we will have documentation for what these fields really mean. And so you'll be able to internalize that and sort of say, oh, I'm looking for this, and I want to be able to pivot by this, so you'll be able to do this. So the other thing in this is, what we're doing is, to start the process for instantiating your content pack, we've introduced another server setting in the Office 365 Admin Center, which will enable you to say, yes, I want the Power BI content pack. So by default, we're not enabling everybody with the Power BI content pack. We're asking admins to be judicious about, yes, I care for this capability and I want it. And so it's just a setting. You go into the server settings in Office 365 Admin Center and you turn it on. What that does is, it triggers a workflow into our system and tells us to start the data collection and computation for your organization. This diagram here is purposefully placed here just to show you the complexity of what we're collecting and computing for you. Some of these data sets, they're ready for your environment in like half an hour, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 20 seconds, 20 minutes. Some of them, like the activity data sets, they take time because we're backfilling historical data. Right? Who here wants a Power BI content pack which just gives you data for that day? Anybody interested in that content pack? Thought so much. So there's a little bit of work that we have to do to really, that's why we've created this initiation process where you say, yes, I'm interested. So we'll build your history only if you really care for this data. But once you've said, yes, I care for this data, your data will chug through and you'll have this information all the time. So what this means then is the workflow triggers, we start creating and computing your data, and then we light up a link on your Office 365 dashboard the one that Anne started her demo with, the first front and center piece, you'll see a new link pop up there that says, view your content pack. That link will then take you into Power BI. Admins, global admins or workload admins, will have to instantiate it with their credentials. With me so far? Once you've provided your credentials, that's all you need to do. The first load will take perhaps 20 minutes to 25 minutes. All content packs will come with a pre-configured refresh schedule. You don't have to reset that. If you want refreshes happening sooner, you can adjust it, but it'll come with refresh once a day. And that is it. That's all you need to do. Just provide your, tell us you are interested, and then provide your credentials. Cool? So then after this, what happens? Let's say you start playing with the data, you interact with the data, you change some of the visuals, you add some more capabilities, some more views, and then you push this, the new views that you create, onto the dashboard. And then all you have to do is share. Share with the people that you know in your organization who want access to this information. With me so far? That's done. That's it. That's all you need to have power right there in your hands to analyze and really enable your organizations to get the truest value of Office 365 that you have enabled them for. Make sense? Cool. All right. So, what do we do now? Because you came to Anne in our session today, we have a going back gift for you. Take a quick picture of this slide. There's an email address on that. Email us, and we'll start the content pack initiation process for you automatically. You guys get content pack just for coming to our session. How about that?
We will share this information with other folks next week. But you're the ones who get this information right now so that we can prepare your content packs first.
Sooner than everybody else's. But we'll wait for that email. Cool? All right. We'll take the, this is preview for the content pack. So just so you understand, there are aspects of it. We're looking for feedback from you as well. So if there are aspects of interacting with the data model, or if there's aspects of the instantiation process that's not working well or not going as expected, connect back with us. Send us an email on this alias. Anne and I will be monitoring this. We will personally respond back to any questions you have or anything that helps helps you get started. Expect all of this to happen over the course of October. Not instantly, please. However, it should get you started and get you analyzing usage in your environments. And what we're looking in return for this is basically your first impressions or your any challenges that you face in the process in terms of what's working or what's not working. Cool? That's a deal? Give and take? All right. Okay, so let's shift gears. So that was all about the content pack. So Anne showed you guys all the Office 365 usage reports that we have in the Admin Center. And people have been asking us, UX is great, but can I get this data programmatically? I have other business systems in my organization that I need to integrate, pull the data out of here and integrate over there. When can I access this data programmatically? So we're going to be announcing preview of our APIs soon. The key thing to go back from here is we are going to be integrating the Office 365 usage reports into the Microsoft Graph. So there'll be a new node for a new endpoint for reports in the Microsoft Graph. Eventually, it'll start with us, Office 365 usage reports being the first ones in there, but eventually it'll build to you. It's the one endpoint that you'll be able to get a lot more reports on. What we're doing is basically enabling you to stream the content out of our system and then take it and do what you need to do and, you know, integrate it with other systems. We are not going to be providing PowerShell commandlets on these APIs. These are OData APIs. Okay, that goes well, all right. And then the APIs are going to be really simple. It'll give you your tenant-level summaries that you see in the charts, as well as the user-level details. So if you're looking for just the top-level information, you can call into our API and get that directly into Excel. Or if you're looking for that full user breakdown, per user breakdown, you can call into our streaming content CSV files out of that and just process that information on your own. It is calling out specifically, it is a different set of APIs than the management activity APIs that you get for raw transaction logs. So just wanting to call that out. If you have more questions or need more information about that, Daniel's going to be doing a session tomorrow at 9 and 10:45. And so feel free to go for that. It is basically, if you're looking for anomaly detection or other aspects of the down to the every single transaction level of information, that you'd get that from there. What the usage reporting is doing is basically giving you, we're doing all the heavy lifting for you. We're doing all the pre-computes and the aggregations that are needed and then just giving you that pre-processed information. So that's the key difference in there. And we'll be announcing preview soon. Watch out for information on that one.
Yeah, here's actually a full roadmap of when the new functionalities will become available to you. So let me just call out a few. So most important, the content pack, the preview, we announced it today. You guys can sign up for it. And we will broadly roll out then the content pack for everybody, for folks to opt in over the next couple of 3 months. Then also, the API preview will become available before the end of the year. And of course, as we will retire the old admin center, some of you might have been in my session yesterday, at the end of the year, we will also retire the old reports. But I think what you've seen today is that we are providing with way better reports in the new admin center. So I think if anybody of you is still using the new reports, definitely give the new reports a try. You will see that you actually get the richer and better information in those reports already. Then you see at the bottom, you see all the other reports that are coming. If there is a report that you want and it's not on our list yet, please let us know. As said, everything what we do is really based on your feedback because we want to make sure that our usage report meets your needs. So if we're missing something that is critical for you, please let us know. Also, I wanted to call out that at the beginning of the year, the new usage reporting dashboard, it is probably already available to all of you here, but we will also then make it available for our unique clouds in Germany and in China. And then towards the middle of the next year, we will then take the APIs out of preview and make them general available as well. So with that, I'd like to show the most important slide of the session again, in case you were not able to take a picture. Please sign up for the preview so that we can enable the content pack for you, and please give us feedback. We'd really appreciate that. And as Shilpi said, we have a deal now, so we'll track you down if we don't get feedback. No, just kidding. But please give us feedback so that we can make sure that the content pack really meets your needs, because we want you to be like my dad, so that you can sit down with me and explain me the experiment kit, or actually help your users to get started with Office 365 so that you really get the most value out of Office 365. And if your users don't use it, you don't get value out of it. But if you don't know if your users are not using it, well, then you can't help them. So with that, we'd like to thank you and we'd like to open it up for questions. Please, if you have a question, if you could just walk up to the mic right over there so that everybody can hear your question.
So we have one already. Go ahead.
So have you been thinking about how do you take the notion of usage sort of down a level, right? So if you think about a corporate intranet, I want to understand what pages are sticky. I want to understand what flows my users had through it. If you think about with the new My Analytics or the people pages, I want to understand, you know, I want to understand the type of data that I would get from an Azure Analytics or a Google Analytics, because the intranet is really a content site. It's not a collaboration site, but it's built on top of SharePoint. And I don't want to go and hack the master page and put in Azure Analytics code or Google Analytics code. So are you thinking about that type of analytics and reporting as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thanks for that question. It certainly touches on a very important point. For SharePoint, we do right now, we're only providing active user information based on file activity. We are planning to go a layer deeper and bring in page and site visits, but we're actually not planning to provide analytics at the page level in terms of which pages are people accessing more, and you would have to continue using some of the tools that you use today. That said, in terms of understanding the value that customer users are getting, and you touched on My Analytics, we're certainly innovating in that space and building the right productivity enabling tools that help you understand, okay, how am I getting value out of Office 365 by, you know, how am I spending time on email? How are my people spending time on documents? And so we're planning to enrich some of those capabilities in My Analytics as well. But certainly from a usage report perspective, I don't think we're planning to go down to the complete analytics on the page views and things like that. We'll bridge some gaps, but we won't go all the way.
Okay, so I would just note that if SharePoint wants to be a publishing platform and is serious about that, that's a significant gap against the competitors, right? You're basically saying we're not gonna do what would be standard for any normal website in today's age.
I hear you. I think we might, for now, this is our current stand.
My question was 365 groups, since those go across products, how are you going to tell whether a group is used or not? Because we have, 50 or 60 of them out there. Users created them. I don't think they even knew they were creating a group. So how are you going to tell whether it's used or not?
Good question. So we didn't show it in this session today, but if anybody's attending the group session, we're talking about the groups report that we're shipping out as well. It'll come through in the next few weeks. It's an interesting one for us. Certainly the element of a group is basically activity that's going on across the group mailboxes as well as the documents that people are storing on their sites. We're leading with providing insights on activity in a group through their group mailbox activity, but soon on heels we'll be providing information about what document activity is going on as well. So we will provide you with one consolidated report that gives you the view across all groups, so that you can see what messaging activity is going on and what document activity is going on. The one that we're shipping next month is purely based on mailbox activity, but we are planning to rev it.
Go ahead. Is there a way to make a report that shows how many users are auto-forwarding their emails? Not actually using their email, but they're auto-forwarding to another email?
Oh, that's a good point. We haven't looked at it yet, but I'll certainly make a note of it and see what we can do there.
Good.
Thank you.
So, love the reports on SharePoint usage on the dashboard. However, when it comes to seeing sites that have been modified, there seems to be a misunderstanding as to when things are modified by the system versus the user. I know this has been raised to the user voice. Is there a timeline on when we'd be able to separate or distinguish between user update versus system update?
So thanks for bringing that up. For us, fundamentally, if you saw all of these reports, we're pivoting very strongly on user intentional activities. We do end up seeing sometimes we do see activities that kind of make its way into our system, which is not purely user-triggered, and we're constantly watching that like hawks to be able to keep removing those out of our system. So we're in a constant cleanse and repeat notion around it. We've already actually, even before we released the reports, we've done a very intense sweep of all the activities that we bring into the system to make sure that we're specifically only taking into our system the user triggered. But it's a little bit of a journey with SharePoint because there's so many different ways of connecting with the product that we do see a little bit of that. And if you find it in your environment, send us a feedback, raise a bug, and we are continuously refining that.
Yeah, also just one thing, right? We asked you if you have feedback on the content pack, just send us an email. The easiest way, actually, if you have feedback on one of the reports, please use the feedback button at the bottom of the admin center, because then we know exactly which report you were on, and we can really track that feedback down.
And just to add to that, don't hesitate, send us your email. It helps me get back to you and really explain the nuggets of things that help you act on your feedback, or for us to act on your feedback. So don't hesitate. It's literally coming in my inbox.
You mentioned Power BI would be shareable to people inside your organization, right? Would folks that are not with admin privilege, are they going to be able to see the same level of information that I see as an admin?
They will be able to see the same views that you choose to share with them. They will not be able to change the views.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
The matrix and all
yes.
the numbers that show up is going to be the same,
yes.
and it's not going to be trimmed down, right?
Yes.
But you could, of course, if you don't want to share all the details, you can create a custom report based on the main template that we provide and just share a subset of the data.
Thank you.
A lot of what you talked about was more around the usage of the data. What about compliance and governance and security? Similar to what the previous question asked, I want to know if who's sharing files externally. And who's accessing a file which they're not supposed to access?
So, good question. Two-part answer. A, please attend Daniel's session tomorrow. He's sitting right there next to you. He's got a talk all about security and compliance and anomaly detection and everything else good about there. So you should feel safe. We're taking care of you.
Okay.
Second thing is, even from our system, you can actually, from the user-level data, get who's sharing files externally. The point about who's sharing something that they should not be, I don't think we have that data. You know what I mean? Like, we're not bringing in permissions as well as who's accessing. We're not bringing all of that. But at a top level, we're telling you that, hey, Shilpi shared 20 files and shared 50 files. 10 of them were external, 2 of them were internal, and things like that. So between internal and external and sharing, we are giving you at the user level. But we haven't stitched the permission elements of who is sharing something that they should not be. I'm not sure if Daniel has that information in his system, but you should certainly attend his session tomorrow and ask him that question again.
And
always when you look for security and compliance information, it's a good start to start at the compliance and security center, right? We have a separate, or actually connected to the admin center, a separate area for security and compliance where you can find that information.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not sure which of you came first.
Okay. Talking about prop loss activations, are there any plans to provide more detailed information on the users' reports? I am referring to getting the computer name that users have activated, when was last activated, or when the activation was renewed for those kind of computers?
Yeah, good question. We do have plans to bring the machine information in the report. We're looking at some privacy elements and making sure that we can actually bring that information in a report. Of course, you know, the anonymization feature will work on top of that as well. The second part of your question was around
the
date of last activation.
The renewal of the activation.
So today we have the most recent date of your activation. I will take that back to see if we can actually break it down to each of the activations. Today we're not getting that information into our subsystem, and therefore we're not showing that to you. But I'll take a note of that requirement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Will there be any limitations for delegated admins?
If you have admin on behalf of capabilities, then you should be able to view this.
And no anonymization standard or?
Yes.
Okay.
I've not tried it, but yes.
If you have a hybrid environment of Skype and you wanted to get a view of the complete organization's adoptions of Skype, is there any way to get some information from the local on-prem?
Sorry, no. All of the information we're collecting is basically from the services only, so the online services only. We're not collecting data from on-premise environments.
Thanks.
Sorry to disappoint you. Any other questions?
I may have missed this. I was wondering if this is going to be for all subscriptions, all types like education, government, stuff like that.
The usage reports are available in all subscriptions.
Everybody? Okay, just make
yes.
sure.
Our previous one did have some sort of a limitation around EDU, but this one, the new capability for the UX is available in all. Any other questions?
Cool. Not. Thanks for your time and have a good rest of the week. Thanks all.